Well, with that being said, we're concluding here with Acts, and it's amazing. Paul's 30 years he had been since the road to Damascus. And in 30 years, you can get a lot done, can't you? Think about what you've done in the past 30 years. I am sure we could write a book about what we have done in our lives. Very thankful that we're here this morning to encourage one another. And just remember, Paul, in Acts chapter 28, he had been through a lot. He had been through 3 missionary journeys. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said to him in Acts 23, verse 11, "And that night following, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so much thou bear witness also in Rome.'" Paul was going to make it to Rome. Each one of us, God has a plan. God has a purpose. Paul suffered. And as those in Jesus Christ, we're going to suffer. And, you know, we're going to have times of rest. And please take those times while you can, because your body needs to rejuvenate. Remember, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This time of year, people are just all wound up, ready to go. They're like little Energizer bunnies. You just crank them up and the little drum starts going and off they go. Well, Paul, and as Christians today, we're energized by the Holy Spirit of God. So, Paul, remember where we left off here in verse 6? He was there in the island of Mileta, and there he was. And, you know, he had gotten there, and the natives had been good to him. God bless. And yet, what happened from here was that now they had to wait for the southern wind to come down, and they had to wait three months. And sometimes God puts us on hold because he has things going on. So he was there on the island for 3 months, and you see here in verse 7, "And at this same quarters were in possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name is Publius, who received us and lodged there for 3 days. It was a courtesy there. He was the governor of that island at the time. And so he decided to treat Paul wonderfully, okay, to take him in. Isn't it nice when you're a stranger and you can meet people? Like, we haven't, we don't have strangers here. We have friends we haven't met yet, right? You've heard of that saying. That's so old, but it's so true. You come into the house of God, you meet friends, people you haven't met before, and your spirit clicks, and you're like, hey, this is great. So it's nice to know when you're on the winning team and you're going on from there. So you have 360 miles yet to get to Rome. Paul had to wait 3 months. Now God's in the business of doing things when things are put on pause. Okay? He's still working on us. And it says here, verse 8, "And it came to pass that the father Publius lay sick, a fever of a bloody flux." And that was a gastric fever. It was like a stomach flu, in other words. And they say it's from poor sanitation. Well, they had that everywhere. And, you know, that's why they used to mix wine in with their water to help purify the water. You just didn't want to drink it for 3 days or you end up getting drunk, which the Bible says you need to stay away from getting drunk. It's not a very good thing. It's hard enough to take cold medicine with alcohol in it and feel woozy. That's what I had to deal with the past week. You know, I was no good to anybody. I just laid in bed. It was just like in a vegetable state almost. But enough said on that. So there was that going on. There was a sickness going on with the governor's dad, and to whom Paul entered in, prayed, and laid his hands on him, and he was healed. Remember, Paul was doing this not for show. When you had people wanting to get healed, it was a sign that this is of God. Okay? Nobody can duplicate that. Okay? The Spirit of God's at work. So throughout Acts, we looked at, well, there's a lot of falsities when it comes to the Holy Spirit. He pointed out a lot of areas that, you know, where the truth is and where there's deception and lies, because that's Satan's mission, is to destroy the church. You know, I felt like when I was sick this past week, I felt part of it was a spiritual attack too. And you all know that too. You really sense it, that the opposition does not want you to continue on what you got to do. So we got to fight back, fight back. So they laid hands on him and he was healed. And it, remember too, when it comes to healing, sometimes people aren't healed. And remember, God does the healing. Amen. And what happens is that if he doesn't, then, you know, praise God if he doesn't. And praise God if he does. But you know what? I'm saying this carefully, because some of us are going through tremendous trials with our loved ones and people we care about. And you know what? All you can do is be there to love them, right? All you can be there, you know, if they're feeling horrible or they're going through a physical abnormality or something like that. Thank God there are people here today that are there holding hands spiritually, physically. They're there with them, taking care of them. And you got good hearts here. So verse 9 says, so when he was done, others also which had diseases and ailing came and were healed. That word healed has a different connotation. It has the idea of a medical type of healing that was not done necessarily through the Spirit of God. It has the idea that it was done medically only. Okay, so you had Dr. Luke. Remember, Dr. Luke was there with Paul and a few others. And so I believe Luke was there to take care of this. And then verse 10 says, and also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they landed us with such things as we were necessary. So after those 3 months, they honored. Remember, you had the centurion, you had the prisoners, you had the captain of the ship, you had the pilot, and you had some believers. And those people took good care of them. Remember, it wasn't a very big island at all. And so these people did right by them. And in turn, when people do us right, we're thankful, aren't we? You know, even when things look very bleak. I had one of the kids came up to me yesterday evening, and thanked me for the message. Okay, I was surprised, didn't know the guy. You know, of course, some of the adults came up and thanked me, but I wasn't there for that. I was there. I was hoping that I know a lot of them probably never heard the message before through this idea of they have it here at the high school, you know, with the Christian Athletes Association. That's what I was trying to come up with. That's what they call it, the Federation of Christian Athletes. That's what they call it. It's all around the United States working in the high school, so it's a blessing. You know, all we have to do is just keep on knocking on doors. It took about a year for this to take place. So we're looking at getting together next month, too. So keep that in prayers. Verse 11 says, and then after 3 months, we departed in a ship to Alexandria, and which we were wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. So after 3 months, they started to go up towards Sicily, and they got this ship here. It was another Egyptian grain ship, and it's interesting because Castor or Pollux, they were the sons of Zeus, and we see the Gemini sign through that. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because people today follow false gods. People come to church during Christmas time, and they look at all the neat little things around, but it doesn't, that's not the gospel. The gospel is through the Spirit and the Word of God, people get saved. Same thing happened with Paul's time. The same thing happens today. You know, when you witness to people, you got to get right to the Word. You got to get to the meat, and you got to get to the strong point, and you got to be driven by the Spirit. And God gives you the help to do that, because it's all His work. He's about salvation. We plant the seed, we pray, we have prayer warriors here, the seeds are planted, and then God gives the increase, you know? And, you know, wise are those, it says in Daniel, that lead many to the Lord. I believe that everyone here praying for lost souls for salvation, you're wise. You're wise. And we'll shine it for the glory of God as bright as stars in the heavens, like it says in Daniel chapter 12. So doesn't necessarily, you have some people who plant, others harvest. And so Paul was a harvester and he was a planter. And so there's all kinds of people and prayer warriors all throughout the church. So here they are, they go up and they're thinking that, okay, we're going to be protected with this mythology about these two sons of Zeus. They're going to take care of them. Well, obviously they heard the message. Remember, Paul preached many times. Remember a few Sundays ago, well, they were out in the storm and Paul preached a couple times to them. And what happened was is that they started to listen more and more. Never give up. Never give up when you're visiting family, praying. I know many of you have mentioned to keep people in prayer in your families. Never give up, okay? And as you know, thank God, and many of you have told me this, well, thank God, God never gave up on me, you know? So it's by grace through faith. So we see verse 12, in the landing of Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. Now, they eventually got up to Sicily, which is just north of Malta. And then further up the Mediterranean, we see then there's Italy, as you know it. And that's where we're getting there now. And thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. We came the next day to Puteoli, okay, which is about 100 miles from Rome. So Paul was getting there. Remember, God's saying, look, you're going to get there. I'm very thankful that we all made it through the week, didn't we? You know, we'll get there. And yet some of you were sick. Some of you had things come up. But you know what? We all get there. Eventually, we all get there. Sometimes we look in the mirror and like, I don't know if I'm going to get there. You know, but just that's just the way it is. So, where we found brethren, verse 14, desire to tarry with them 7 days, so we went towards the Rome. So, he spent some time there. There was, obviously, God wants us to spend time with people when there's the right time to do it. Other times, it's not the right time. But there were 7 days where there was, remember, the gospel had spread out. Remember that, you know, by the time all that's said and done, we don't know what we have done down in the past, what things are going on that God's doing for the future for what we've done in the past. And yet there is already a church there. There's a group of believers and they wanted to spend time with Paul. And let me encourage everybody here. If you have the opportunity to spend time with one another, to encourage one another, do that. Do that if you can. So, verse 15, and when thence they went, the brethren heard of us as they came to meet us as far as Appia Forum and the three taverns, which when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. So he had one place which was within 43 miles of Rome. Then the three taverns was 33 miles from Rome. So now we're seeing here, verse 16, and I like this because before I read it, Proverbs 28:20 says a faithful man will be abounding in blessing. Paul was blessed. How many of you here today are blessed because of our faith? We are. Regardless, as the world says, when the chips are down, God is blessing and taking care of us. You know, and life is never going to be easy, but you know, God always gives us those sweet spots, as I call them, sweet spots. I call him my dog. Just give him a little scratch behind the ear on the back. He likes that. He's real old. And, you know, it makes him feel real good. God has those sweet spots for us. You know, he gives us, you know, it takes care of that itch that we have. And you know, everything's okay. But with Rome, Rome had about 2 million people. It was a huge city. Think about this, like Milwaukee, It's a big area, okay? I don't know how many people are in Milwaukee, but there's quite a few. But the average town there at that time was about 10,000 people. So can you imagine going to this pagan city, which, you know, that's all what it was about. Remember, the Jews were expelled about 20 years earlier, and you had, you know, people there that looked at Christians as like, okay, there must be a sect from the Jewish people. And, you know, these people really troublemakers or not. So far, they weren't. And so, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered, verse 16, the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. So, Paul was under house arrest. He got there. Remember, he still had the centurion with him. He had other prisoners. Some of them went to the Colosseum, where, you know, they were made spectacle of, made sport of, and, you know, Paul was put under house arrest. It's amazing, even though the Romans did not agree with Paul, thought Paul was innocent. Remember, Felix wrote that letter, and Paul had to carry it with him, with the centurion, all the way from Caesarea up to now to Rome. And it states in there, remember, when King Agrippa and they got together, they were like, you know, Paul, you're innocent. What did you, you know, look, you didn't do anything wrong. Who was the ones that were against Paul? It was the Jewish people, the Sadducees and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and then, of course, that made up the Sanhedrin, and they were against Paul. You know, Paul didn't do anything wrong, okay? It was made up lies. Remember, they were out to assassinate him. And also keep in mind, too, that these Jews who made these accusations say, okay, if you want to appeal to Caesar, go for it. And you know what? They didn't, I don't think that they actually, when, remember, Paul, he was in prison for 2 years, and after that, he was let go for about 3 or 4 years. Some people say that he may have gone to Spain, but I believe what it says in Timothy, that he, when he wrote Timothy, that he was planning to go to Macedonia. So, and that's the area there which is going east there of Rome, where he could have spent that time before the persecution broke out with Nero. And I believe even with Nero, I think Paul might have had the opportunity, he doesn't say he had the opportunity to witness to Nero, because remember, he had to go before Nero, and maybe it was at that point that Caesar broke because he rejected Christ. Historians said he was a very unmoral man, and that's what triggered, remember, the fire in Rome. And blamed the Christians. And then, you know, Paul was rearrested, so to speak. But remember, at that time, he was in Rome, he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, okay, at that time, while he was there for 2 years of house arrest. It was when he was possibly in Macedonia or Spain. There's no proof that he was actually in Spain, but he desired to. Remember, the Holy Spirit was saying, no, you don't do this. But it was at that time that he wrote his First Timothy and Titus. I believe Second Timothy wasn't written until he was back in jail the second time, ready to be beheaded, as it says there, like in the church fathers and other resources there. It was at that time, remember, Peter was crucified upside down. And Paul was beheaded, you know, and a lot of the apostles were, we'll put it to you this way, they were killed for their faith. And so I often ask myself, would I be willing to die for Christ? Well, how far does that love take us? That's something that we have to answer between us and the Lord. But Paul was willing to go the whole yard, the whole field for from one end to the other for the Lord. So he was in Rome and he was under house arrest. He had the opportunity to witness. Remember, it said there in Ephesians he was able to witness in his chains. He had to chain him on. The question is, why was he chained like that? Because he was a hot potato. They didn't want anything to happen to him. But it was amazing how they took good care of him. You know, when we have even people who are giving us a hard time, it says in Romans, even our enemies will be at peace with us. When we're living right for the Lord, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have opposition. It just means that they will understand us in a light that we never thought was possible. So, and that's the way it was with Paul being under house arrest. Verse 17, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, they said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Now he's talking, first of all, who does he go to? Or who comes to him this time? The Jewish people come to him. Remember, each one of his journeys has been on the three missionary journeys. This is his fourth travel by way. Every time he goes to the Jews first. But now see what happens. Things change here. It says here, verse 18, who when they had examined me would have let me go, but because there was no cause of death in me, but when the Jews spake against I was constrained to appeal to Caesar, nor that I ought to accuse my nation of. Verse 20, when this cause, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with chain. And the question is, what is the hope of Israel? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we tell people when we share our faith or live our faith, because people want to see us. Let me tell you, every time I come to church or I'm out in the streets and I'm talking to people, and I want to see their witness. I want to see Jesus in them. I want to see that sweet, gentle spirit in them. I want to see Christ in them. And that's what magnetizes us. You know, we have our personalities. You know, God, when he had his prophets write down the word of God, you know, like for Peter, God used a little bit of Peter in there while under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Men were moved by the Holy Spirit. It has the idea, just as we witness the Holy Spirit in us, bears witness with one another. They were moved to write God's word. We are moved to witness to one another, to share Christ's love. We are moved when we're by ourselves to do God's will throughout the day. So Paul was moved by the hope of Israel, which is Jesus Christ. That's what keeps us going. That throws coal into the fire there that gets our locomotion going. And so there he was in verse 21, says, and when they had received him, we neither received letters out of Judea. This is the Jewish people responding back. We didn't hear anything from you, Paul. It says, concerning thee, any of the brethren that came and showed and spake any harm to thee. But we desire to hear thee what thou thinkest as concerning this sect. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. So, you know, two things. One, when the book of Romans was written in Corinth, back around 58 AD, Paul was warning about, we were talking about this in Sunday school this morning, how be careful about false teachers coming in and people causing divisions in the church. And Paul was very concerned about that, because you need to keep those kinds of people out. It's better to have those people leave and causing more dissension, because Satan wants to divide and conquer. He does that all the time, splits people up. And I think maybe that's one of the reasons why we have so many churches around here, 16 of them in the Oconomowoc area, because new churches starting all the time, okay? Because you have people, I'm not saying they're being divisive, I'm not going there. That's between them and the Lord. But some of the people just go around like this all the time, never really settle down, is because, unfortunately, something went wrong. and they're never really settled, you know. And of course, that's between them and the Lord. And I'm not here to judge them. That's between them and the Lord. But my heart goes out to them. They can never seem to be settled, you know. And there's no place like home with Christ in your heart, with your church. So it says here that, and then secondly, you know, they heard about these Christians. Yeah, we heard. Now remember, these are Jewish people. They're not necessarily saved. And you have a group that was, but you have this group that wasn't. And they said, yeah, we've heard about you people, but you're nothing but trouble. Troublemakers. You know, as I said before, we have to make sure, you know, you behave yourself. That means to stay out of trouble. Stay away from it. Even though you want to say something, it's better off not to say anything at all. Because we get ourselves in trouble. But Paul handled this right. And it says, verse 23, and when he had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto the lodging, to whom he expounded and testified. That's what I love about these two words here in verse 23. Expounded. That's what we get expository from. Expository preaching. You pick it apart, you bring it together, you try to make sense of it, and you apply it to your life. And that's what he did there, and he testified. All of us here this morning have testimonies. All of us here are expositors of the word. Some people go say, well, the Bereans were. Well, that's nice. But you know what? Paul exercised this wherever he went. He had to give a defense of the faith. He was there all the time. You know, he remembered, you know, people faithfully listening to the word, trying to understand the word, let it soak and penetrate into the pores of their body and just completely floods their souls with the word of God. So, and then there was the kingdom of God persuading him as he went on concerning Jesus out of the law of Moses, which is important. He went right back to where their main problem was. Do you accept what Moses had to say about the coming Messiah? Here he is. He was there day and night explaining things to people. And we have done that, thank God, here over the years. And he went on from there. And he says, and out of the prophets from morning till evening. So there was not one disagreement, an argument. And he says, well, let's go back to the prophets. Sometimes when we witness to people, and we've done this before, it seems like they can never settle or make up their minds. It's just better to go ahead and to be honest with yourself. And tell them, number one, be honest with yourself. And then also clarify the issue. Clarify it with them. You know, because sometimes you have people that will just make an argument because they don't want to face the truth. And, you know, it's so important just to look at them and say, you know what, sir or ma'am, it's better to be honest with yourself. Do you really want to hear this? Or are you just making something up so you can make an excuse so you don't have to hear it anymore? So Paul got down to the bottom line. And it says here in verse 24, and some believed these things which were spoken, some believed not. When they agreed not amongst themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word. Well spoke of the Holy Ghost of Isaiah, the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and ye shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. And then we'll stop here. But this is that they would hear it, but they wouldn't understand it. They would hear it, but their hearts had become so hard. And yet, what do we do as Christians today? We move on. Move on to the next set. You know, because some people, it's not time yet. Other people, they're getting closer to it. And some people make it like, behold, now is the time of salvation. Don't put it off. Behold, how many people have you met during Christmas time that we've witnessed to, but we've seen no change, nothing? So I was telling the people last night, I said, you come to that point where, you know, you have a choice. And if you accepted Christ as your Savior, well, has there been a change in your life? You can pray a prayer, but it's more than that. That's the first step, getting your heart and mind together. Next step is living by faith, believing on it. Has there been a change? And only the Holy Spirit can do that. That's theology 101 there. It's the Word of God being preached, convicting, and then the transformation comes in, the justification, the sanctification, on and on and on. So, you know, it wasn't any different than it was in Paul's day. So, you see here, for the heart of the people, verse 27, is wax gross, and their ears dull of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest they should see their eyes and hear with their ears and understand their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. You know, God is a very fair God. He is. Some people have taken this verse out of Isaiah and they twisted it. And they said, oh, God sends some people to hell and other people to heaven. That's not true. We have our own free will. You know, and what happens is that you have people who make their choices and don't want to hear it anymore. And, you know, God is not going to waste his time with love. God is love. Remember this. God is love. And love is given. Okay? And love is never pushed or forced. And the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. And God convicts us about something. Either we can accept it or reject it. Or we can get so busy, we got to go. I'm not listening to you, Lord, because I'm too busy right now. God's Spirit, we have to let him do his thing in our lives and subtract ourselves out of it. And it's a very hard thing to do, but it's also a very good thing to do because you become more like Christ wants us to come. These Jewish people walked away arguing with one another. Why were they doing that? Because they thought, hey, you know, it says this with Moses, but then Elijah says something else. What about Jeremiah? You know, and all they were so wrapped up and the little semantics with the Word of God that they lost the whole reasoning through the Spirit of God speaking to them. It's like here are the ABCs, and yet they're way down by Z, and they completely lost it. I've been around intellectuals. We've been around intellectuals, and sometimes you can speak to them, but sometimes they're so far off, they're in a different world. So what we need to do this time of year is a great time to witness, is to tell them about the simplicity of Christ's birth, you know? And we can compare scripture with scriptures. And we've been doing that for years. And encourage everybody here that we need to keep on praying for people who are lost. And by the grace of God, so are we. Verse 28, but it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it. Paul goes on to say, you know what? You people don't want to hear what I have to say. So now, guess what? The gospel is going to be sent to the Gentiles. He's saying that. He's been saying that throughout the past 30 years. He goes to the Jews. They reject. And what does he do? He turns to the Gentiles. And you know what? We're very thankful for that because we're here. We're Gentiles. We are. And when the time of the great tribulation comes up, then God will revert his message to his people, his Jewish people again. But it's now for the Gentiles. It's interesting how history repeats itself. You get more and more people that are tuning off from the gospel today because there are many places that look good for the kingdom of heaven. But it's not the narrow way. We got to keep the narrow way, as Paul expositoried. And he testified. Very simple. Okay? Most people are very ignorant of the word. They are. But you know what? Everybody's at their own level. No one's arrived. And I'm just scratching the surface. I don't know anything. You know, I try to understand. But God shows me his mercies day by day, just like the rest of us. So he goes to the Gentiles. Verse 29, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed in great reasoning among themselves. Oh, you know what? We're going to try to rationalize this, guys. You know? Try to reason with this. You know? Rationalization is avoiding the truth, but trying to make up an idea of what this could be. This could be truth. It may not be truth. So they were so lost. They were 100% lost. And yet, all we had to see was that there could have been this reason together. You know, we need to come to the Lord and reason together And that's what needed to be done. And then it says here, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him. So Paul was content. You know, when we get into situations and we feel like, you know what, Lord, you put me on pause, there's a good reason. Because as I learned this past week, being sick, I was able to just really get into the Word. Really get into the Word. And it was really eye-opening to me. Because I was thinking, you know, oh, I could have sat there and watched something on YouTube or something. But I spent a lot of time studying the Word. A lot of time in prayer. A lot of time in prayer. Because I was like, okay, we should give thanks for all things, right? Well, you know, I was thankful that God said, okay, put the brakes on. I'm going to do a little overhaul here. And I want to teach you some things. And I'm not going to get into it because that's personal things, right? Like we all do. But sometimes he has to readjust the timing in our thinking. You know, like in an engine, the timing needs to be adjusted because we aren't running the way he wants us to run. And so he takes a few turns and twists with the screws and, you know, gets everything going right. And so that's what we got to do, you know. Waiting upon the Lord, and he shall give us our strength on him. So, and then it says here, verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in a hired house, received all that came to him. Verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which were concerned the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. In other words, he didn't turn away anybody. He had confidence. He was content with his godliness, which was great gain. And yet, here he was with Luke, and others came to visit him. We see that throughout the Bible. And you know what? It came to this where it was about this time that when we look at Acts, and we look at the acts of the Lord Jesus Christ, the acts of the church, the acts of Paul, the acts of our lives, okay? 30 years running, and you had a wonderful time seeing, you know what? My life is like that. My life is an epistle. All right, if I could write things down and people could see this in my diary or my journal, wow, what an exploratory time that would be, you know? But God knows that. Think about this. In the portals of time, we will know, one, our name is written in Lamb's Book of Life. If it's not, we're in trouble, right? But knowing that, when we die and go home and be with the Lord, and at the Bema Seat, okay, during the first half of the tribulation while we're in heaven, God's going to replay our life before us. And, you know, I'd rather see me grow in the Lord and continued on, even with all the trials, all the problems, and Lord knows, I couldn't even touch some of what you've all been through. I'm just amazed. It's grace, I got that, but I don't know if I could go through it, and I wouldn't want to go through it. But you know what? Seeing that you were what? And this is key that unlocks the door, faithfulness. Be faithful. If anything, get out of this message. Paul was faithful to the very end. We need to be faithful. And we are. We are. And those that are sick, can't be here, people have come and visited, met some people this week that want to come out to our church to visit, so on and so forth. But just be faithful and pray for those that people don't know Christ. They may come to know the Lord. So, as it was. So, concluding here with Acts, remember that it was a journey in itself. Luke didn't write the end of this epistle, not for some time. You know, most people think it wasn't until about 4 or 5 years later that it went on. This is the ever-living story. This story of Jesus Christ is ever-living. And so he actually made it to Rome. Actually, one day we will make it home too. But you know what? It's wonderful to know that the Lord has us to go through life as it is. And that He's got a better home for us in heaven. And he's got a place made, prepared for us, John chapter 14, a home. He's already preparing a place for us. So it's a home away from home. And thank God for our homes here on earth. And that our home and our heart, as I close with this, is should have Jesus Christ sitting, ruling, and reigning. I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. And before I do that, Karen, did you want to, you need to, let me close in prayer. And then we're going to sing a song, and I'm going to have Paul close. And let's see here. So let me do this. Let me pray, and then we'll have our last song. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you in life's journey that we learn that you're always there with us. And Lord, we thank you, God, for the good times, the bad times. We thank you for the acts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in our lives. We thank you for all that's happened this past week, all that will come. We just give comfort through you, and we give you the praise. We thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross for our sins, and for the death, and burial, and resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for Christmas coming up and the time that we have with our loved ones and the cares that we have. We just pray, Lord, that you give us safety and protection. And we pray, too, that, Lord, people will come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.